You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. Fracking for natural gas has become a hot-button issue for candidates running for president in both the Democratic and Republican parties. For the Democrats, it's concerns about water and health impacts that have come to the forefront. But for Republicans, the message is different. Take frontrunner Donald Trump. The candidate says he believes he'll easily take the state of New York because he supports fracking, something Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo has banned. The audio is from online DSmog blog.
Do you know if they fracked in New York, New York would lower its taxes, would have no debt, would have made a fortune. Instead, Pennsylvania took all their money.
Then there's Ted Cruz, who hosted a Senate hearing on climate change in December. At the end of it, he listed reasons why he's not convinced climate change is happening. One reason, he says, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. Cruz went on to say,
for the last 18 years, the satellite data and the weather balloon data both demonstrate no significant warming whatsoever.
Now, for the record, NASA analyzes that data differently, and the Washington Post reported this week that two prominent satellite data sets both show that February 2016 was the hottest month ever recorded. Republican Governor John Kasich has distinguished himself somewhat among the other Republican candidates when it comes to global warming. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant decided to take a closer look at Kasich's environmental views and at his record.
When John Kasich first hit the campaign trail last summer, Pope Francis had just published an historic environmental encyclical. It made climate change a moral issue and called on people to change their consumerist behaviors in response. Some GOP candidates criticized the religious leader for speaking out on political issues. When asked by a reporter from Undercurrent, Kasich had a different response.
So I think the Pope pointing out the fact that we need to take care of this environment is good. I don't agree with his conclusion that all of it is bad because of free enterprise, because it's lifted people out of poverty and he cares about the poor, and so do I.
The question for many is what a President Kasich would do about it.
So do you take legislative action?
Well, let's not get carried away.
At a town hall meeting in New Hampshire in January, shortly before the first primary contest of the season, Kasich was again asked about climate change. Living on Earth provided this audio.
I think that human beings do affect the climate, and I'm a big supporter of solar and wind and geothermal and efficiency, but I want all of the different sources. I saw Seabrook today. I'm for nuclear, too. I mean, I'm for all of this.
Two-thirds of Ohio's electricity comes from coal. Emissions from coal are considered the largest contributor to global climate change in the U.S. Kasich has said the state would continue to burn coal without apology. He's come out against action by the Obama administration to curb carbon emissions that cause climate change.
And I think the other part of it is, let's not go so fast that we throw this kid out of work or this gentleman out of work. It's got to be a balance between a good environment and economic growth, which we can achieve. If you work at it, you can achieve it.
Governor Kasich is not necessarily your truest, bluest, greenest friend or the environment, nor absolutely is he an enemy, outright arch enemy of the environment.
That's Jack Shaner. He's with the Ohio Environmental Council. Kasich was slammed by environmental groups for freezing Ohio's renewable energy program for 2 years. The program required utilities to replace some energy from coal with alternatives like solar and wind. But Shaner says without Kasich, it would have been worse for renewables. The Republican legislature wanted to completely eliminate the clean energy mandate.
Governor Kasich gets credit for salvaging and holding the wolf from the door, so we did not suffer an outright repeal of our clean energy standards. We were disappointed he wasn't more active earlier in that debate and didn't exert his leadership and get this legislature to back down.
Kasich has split with some in his own party by pushing a tax on the oil and gas industry. There's a similar debate in Pennsylvania. Many Republicans say it would drive the industry away. Here's Kasich at his State of the State speech last year.
I'm disappointed by those that say the severance tax reform will kill the industry. That's a joke. That's a big fat joke, because I've talked to them in private. And I'll tell you what, our severance tax will still be competitive with other energy-rich states.
The Ohio Environmental Council praises Kasich for these efforts and for preventing oil and gas drilling in state parks. The council's Jack Shaner says Kasich has also put big bucks toward reducing toxic algae in Lake Erie. On the other hand, Kasich started something called the Common Sense Initiative. Shaner says it makes creating new environmental regulations difficult, especially if they cost anything to the private sector.
So here again, this is sort of the mystique of John Kasich. You cannot just categorize the guy. He is complicated.
When it comes to environmental policy, Shaner says Kasich marches to his own drum. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. CSX announced in January it was closing administrative offices in downtown Huntington. That means the loss of 121 administrative jobs. But as Clark Davis reports, it also leaves the question of what happens to the building when CSX leaves.
CSX announced it will consolidate administrative divisions from 10 to 9, moving administrative responsibilities from Huntington to five other divisions in Atlanta, Baltimore, Florence, Great Lakes, and Louisville. CSX will continue running trains in the area and will keep open its Huntington locomotive shop. But what happens to the 100-year-old, 31,000-square-foot building on 7th Avenue when CSX closes? That could happen as early as this summer.
It's very important that we think it through and work with it. It's obviously a landmark in the community. Anybody that's familiar with Huntington knows that it's very iconic and recognizable. So we want to see the building remain and become a vibrant part of the community.
That's David Living. He's the president and CEO of the Huntington Area Development Council, or HADCO. HADCO has offered its help to the city with efforts to find a tenant or tenants for the facility and to even help in the negotiations if needed. Spokesman Brian Chambers says the city won't comment on talks between Mayor Steve Williams and CSX on what will happen to the facility. Living, though, says it's important to make sure the facility is used in a productive way.
I think it's important that it not remain vacant for a long period of time. I think it's testament to the fact that there's a lot of committed people in Huntington that want to see it be repurposed and reused. And frankly, it's an opportunity. You know, I think people recognize the historical significance, and many people would probably like to be part of that and play in whatever role they could in seeing that the building is being used again for something productive.
Living says CSX is still evaluating what they have in the building. He says the city approached them about the possibility of a donation of the property to the city, but ultimately it's a wait-and-see game. Jacqueline Proctor is with Create Huntington. The group focused on coming up with creative ways to help the city flourish has been full of ideas for the building that was renovated in 1995.
We think that it has great potential for the city and surrounding area, for the tri-state area even. It's a known place, it's a known location, so that's good to start with. It's right by the railroad tracks, so those are some of the suggestions that have come up with relationship to that. It just would really add to the vitality of Huntington.
Some of the ideas that Proctor is alluding to focus on the use of the facility as something of a museum to highlight what CSX and trains mean to the city, named after a railroad pioneer in Collis B. Huntington.
I could easily see, and other people could easily see, retail shopping space, a restaurant. Someone suggested at one of our last meetings they would love to see another live musical venue, like a jazz club. We most certainly could see administrative office space being there on the upper floors, and perhaps an educational space, not only about the city of Huntington and Cabell County and Wayne and all of that, but again, about our train history.
Proctor says whether the city can obtain the property or a private owner does, they just hope that it can be used in a productive manner. Messages were left with CSX, but they did not offer comment. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning at 7:53. Today's going to be rather cloudy with some scattered rain throughout the day. Highs will be in the 50s. And tonight, the cloudiness will continue. It's going to get a little cooler with lows in the 30s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
My name is Daniel Faber. Anything that has the quality that West Virginia Public Broadcasting has, we need to make sure that something this good doesn't go away for lack of support. It leaves us better off for its having been there, and for it to go away would certainly leave a void.
Encourage one of your friends to become a friend of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Call 800-RADIO-87 or go to the website wvpublic.org.
Although he's hosted over 850 episodes, it's been a long time since Mountain Stage host Larry Gross has performed a set of his own on the show. But he does this week with songs from his first album in over two decades, Live Forever. Here's host Larry Gross with the song When the Mist Clears Away for this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
When the mist was on the hills and all around, I saw a beautiful gray-haired woman on the road as I drove into town. Well, I pulled over and I asked her if I could give her a lift upon her way. She said, no, thank you. I'm almost home now. I'll be all right when the mist clears away. Let the sunlight break through the darkness and let the night turn to beautiful day. Don't let the shadows turn into mountains. You'll be all right when the mist clears away. Sometimes I don't know just which way to turn. I've been lazy, I've been jealous. Sometimes you know I think I'll never learn. But deep inside me, if I listen, there's a tiny voice that always seems to say, don't be mistaken, you're not forsaken. You'll be all right when the mist clears away. Let the sunlight break through the darkness and let the night turn to beautiful day. Don't let the shadows turn into mountains. You'll be all right when the mist clears away.
And that was Mountain Stage host Larry Gross with When the Mist Clears Away. You can hear this song and more Saturday nights at 8 p.m. on Mountain Stage right here in West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we're interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter, @WVPublicNews, and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantes. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, and Liz McCormick. And our news director is Jesse Wright. And the theme music is by Matt Jeckford.